Welcome back. Well, Jacob Zuma's corruption-plagued presidency is drawing closer to an end. This after the ANC actively began talks to have him replaced with new party leader Cyril Ramaphosa. President Zuma's fate has been questioned since Ramaphosa's appointment last month, even though his final term in office only officially ends in 2019. Political analyst Daniel Silk joins us on the line now with his perspective on the on all that's been playing out. Thanks so much, Daniel, for your time this evening. So I'm going to start off with what seems like the obvious at this stage. Is Zuma's removal inevitable?
Now, look, my own view is that it is inevitable. In other words, that the removal is likely to happen sooner rather than later. The president is, of course, constitutionally mandated that he can continue in office until the dissolution of parliament next year before the next election. But I think it's in the interests clearly of Ramaphosa and frankly the broader ANC that they curtail his presidency as soon as possible. And the issue is just how soon will this happen? Will it happen ultimately before the State of the Nation address or will it happen sometime thereafter? But I think the writing is on the wall for President Zuma's days at the top job.
How do you see this playing out? Is it the top six that's going to be managing out this early exit or the 80-strong National Executive Committee recalling him?
Well, look, I don't think we're going to get a recall in the sense that they will force him out. I think the position will be managed in terms of a dignified, as has been indicated, a dignified early exit or retirement. And I think that's the important issue. The important issue is that it has to be seen as though the president is vacating, in a sense, on his terms. He has to be seen to have perhaps leveraged some guarantees, at least from his successors, as to how he will be treated should there be legal issues recurrent in the months ahead. And I think on the basis of that, the president, Zuma, will feel as though, look, the pressure is there, certainly from within the party. And the reality of politics in South Africa is that Zuma at the moment is certainly the biggest obstacle to the ANC's electoral victory in 2019. For Ramaphosa, he needs Zuma out of the picture. And also, Ramaphosa needs to get levers of state in his own hands. In other words, he needs to appoint a cabinet. He needs to continue with this renewal and sweeping out the dead wood that has plagued governance in South Africa for the last while. On the basis of that, I think we will see movement in the relatively short term. And the issue, I suppose, will be just what kind of guarantees will President Zuma get to afford him at least some sort of comfortable retirement, notwithstanding these legal challenges ahead. I think it will be Ramaphosa and a fairly small group of individuals who will negotiate these issues with him. He will take guidance from the NEC, but I think a more one-to-one approach from senior leaders is the way to go in this delicate situation.
Daniel, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I mean, with that greater good in mind, if we can label it that way, what do you foresee some of those guarantees being?
Well, it's a grey area, to be perfectly honest, in terms of how the courts will assess the various legal challenges that the president still faces. And I'm not sure whether any legal expert can predict exactly how this will play out. But one could very well argue that Zuma will be looking for some sort of undertaking from his successor that should he run foul of the courts, at least some sort of protection could be afforded. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this might play itself out, but there might be ways and means in which perhaps a future pardon of Zuma, should there be problems for him, is on the table. But I think that for Jacob Zuma, it is an uncertain future. We don't quite know the nature of the legal contestations. We don't quite know of any other kind of civil court procedures that could be instituted against the president. We don't know what can happen to members of the president's family, for that matter, in terms of many of these investigations. And I think it will leave a cloud over his immediate future. But having said that, there's no doubt there are enough Jacob Zuma supporters within the NEC, within the broader ANC, and there are enough who want to see the president protected in terms of his own future. And on the basis of that, I think providing him some sort of guarantee, and I say that in inverted commas, is the way to go in terms of at least allowing for a fresh start for the ANC, if that's possible.
As you say that, Parliament, of course, will have its hands full come tomorrow and Wednesday when the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises resumes its inquiry into state capture. Having said that, Cyril Ramaphosa is consolidating his power within the party. How much of a new broom sweeps clean effect are you really anticipating here, Daniel?
Look, I think it's substantial. I think we've seen already, just within the last few weeks, we've seen the statements from Ramaphosa. We've seen these critique and criticism of the failure of governance in South Africa over many, many years. It's been pretty open and honest. And we've seen the beginnings of action, certainly in terms of Eskom, the new Eskom board. And, of course, now we've seen the asset forfeiture unit also take action against many of the Gupta-linked companies. And even the National Prosecuting Authority looks as though it's going to start playing ball at last. So on the basis of that, I think there is a substantial appetite now within senior leadership of the ANC to try and right the ship. And as a result, of course, we've seen any number of cabinet ministers now scrambling to be on the right side of history rather than on the wrong side of history that has plagued them in the last few years. We've seen this attempt to almost come out on Ramaphosa's side, on the side of those who are looking to cleanse what's been going on, from ministers like Lynn Brown, even from Malusi Gigaba for that matter. And I think we're going to see a greater desire on the part of even those who have been lukewarm about Ramaphosa to side with Ramaphosa, at least perhaps not just for their own career perspective, but clearly also should there be any further legal proceedings that might harm them in future. There could well be more of a tide for reform than we might have given the ANC credit, but it's still going to be quite a tough job to really tackle the sensitivities of who should be prosecuted, and that I think we'll see play out over the next few
weeks. That being said, Daniel, how soon before Cyril Ramaphosa officially takes over the reins are you anticipating cabinet to be reshuffled? Because, of course, on the lips is, could we potentially have a new president by SONA and a new finance minister by budget?
Well, I think you can ask three analysts a question. You'll get six different answers. If I had to put my money, I suppose, where my mouth is, I would argue that the sooner Ramaphosa can become president of South Africa and exert state power through a cabinet reshuffle, the better. On the basis of that, I would perhaps be prepared to err by saying that it is entirely possible that we may have an exit of Jacob Zuma by SONA. If indeed President Zuma does present SONA, he will either be seen as a lame duck president, or that speech that he gives would be a speech that perhaps is not his own, one that is largely written for him by Ramaphosa and the new NEC. And I think that wouldn't satisfy anybody at all. My money on a quicker departure than perhaps we planned, but I think there is still a number of these sensitive issues that have to be ironed out.
Let's leave it there, Daniel. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, was political analyst Daniel Silk.